We used to have a great producer on this show. Now we settle for Dave. Lindsay Gentzel produced this show for 74 years. And she is with us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? I love that my, you know, intro included Adam talking about bratwurst.
Yes.
It's just like nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed. Exactly. I could go for some Grunhofer's food right now. Grunhofer's.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If you want to send some food, we definitely will sample it. Okay, first of all, let's, most importantly, before we talk ADHD, which is part of your life, and you've turned into part of your professional life also, let's talk about your health, because we've discussed that multiple times, and it's still so much a part of who you are right now. What is the latest?
Well, the latest is my numbers are actually the best they've ever been. So something is working.
Fabulous.
Yes. I am trying to remind myself that even though my numbers are great and I am feeling better, I am still recovering from nearly 2 years of being incredibly sick and having my body attacked. And I did the math this morning since March of 2023, since I got sick, 330 doctor's appointments, 24 days in the hospital. I think we're at 8 emergency room trips.
Wow.
So it's been a lifestyle. I'm in a good place mentally, and I actually have applied for a clinical trial that would take us to a clinic either probably in Denver or Jacksonville, Florida for 2 months. And it's the first round. So of course my mother hates that. It's the safety round, but it's very exciting. The results they're seeing are incredible. So fingers crossed that takes place. So we're looking at like January for that.
I know this was not an easy decision, but because you just laid out the hundreds of doctor's visits, the hospital visits, your inability to work, how John had to adjust his schedule, you, with the encouragement, a lot of people started a GoFundMe page. I want you to mention this again. I know you probably don't want, but I want you to mention it for people who hear this story, still care for you. If they want to help out, however small, however big, how can they help out?
Yeah, so I have it linked on my website. If you just go to lindsaygentzel.com, you'll see it. But you're right. I started a GoFundMe. A dear friend of mine said, you know, we want to help you, and we need to know how we can do that. And I haven't worked since February. I mean, I've been doing a lot of work, you know, keeping myself in check into all my appointments. But it's just been very hard finding work that fits in with this kind of lifestyle. So I'm hoping that if I get to the clinical trial and all of that goes well, that, you know, my typical life might return just a little bit more and I'd be able to get back to work. But as of right now, it is not looking that way. So it's been, it has been a huge hit. It's been a lot to work through.
Yep.
Yeah. It's been a lot to work through from like an emotional standpoint.
Let's talk ADHD. When did you think you had ADHD? When were you finally diagnosed? And what has the diagnosis done for your life?
Okay, so this is the incredibly funny part, because a big part of having ADHD is impulsivity. But I never had feelings of it. I never had, you know, screenshots or anything like that where I was like, oh, this is definitely me. And it was like I was working up the courage to talk to somebody about it. No, it was literally like one day in January of 2021, I was unemployed because of the pandemic. And I was sitting on my couch and somebody posted a tweet about kids in school who were in the gifted and talented program, basically being a pipeline to undiagnosed adult ADHD. And like this light bulb went off. And like, I'm not joking. Like I had no knowledge of what ADHD was outside of this tweet. Like I really had an outdated idea of what I knew from when I was a kid, which is a young boy who is super hyperactive, who can't sit still and who gets sent out into the hallway. I had no idea. And then this woman posted this tweet and I immediately called my clinic and I said, I'd like to speak to somebody about ADHD. And the woman goes, okay, how about this afternoon? And like, if you know anything about care system and what it's been like these last few years, especially for people wanting to be diagnosed with ADHD, that's unheard of. And so I went in that afternoon and I spoke to somebody, and from our conversation, she said, I think you should speak to, you know, the clinic psychologist. And I did. And I passed with flying colors, Chad. I tested so well in those ADHD, you know, those ADHD test marks. I did quite well. But, you know, you asked what it's meant for me. My ADHD diagnosis is the best thing that has ever happened to me. And getting medicated for ADHD, going on stimulant medication, which is one of the only tried and true methods for treating attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, that's the second best thing, is getting on medication and realizing just how dysregulated my brain was.
So there are a lot of us who have been around individuals who have ADHD, and you send compassion and empathy, and then we look at pharmaceuticals. We look at meds. And as you laid out in your answer, sometimes they can be amazing, but many times they can have a lot of complications with a lot of side effects. As someone who not only is going through this yourself, but has sat down with people, has talked to dozens and dozens of individuals in formal interviews about ADHD, including my former girlfriend, Carla, who, you know, and Carla was reluctant to acknowledge it for a long, long time. We had, I don't think she would mind. We had a bunch of disagreements about it, and she would get upset when I would say, I think you have this. And I know Carla believes her life is immensely better because of the diagnosis and the medication. I wish her only happiness going forward. But the medication issues, and then sometimes the reluctance to accept this is what you have.
Yeah. Oh, the stigma surrounding ADHD, even if you just take the medication stigma out of the conversation, it is so incredibly hard. And it is still, a label people are very hesitant to hold on to. And I was not that way. You know, I had no issue. I think I jumped on social media the second I got my results and shared it. And there are people who don't feel that safety, who don't feel that community. They don't feel that at their workplace. They don't feel that with their family. And that breaks my heart because, like, as I said, like, it's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I have such a better understanding of who I am and who I was, because who I am right now, you know, everything I've gone through in the last 2 years with the chronic illness and the rare disease, you know, I would not have survived that had I not been diagnosed with ADHD 2 years prior and put in the work. And to go off of, you know, what you're talking about, medication is not for everyone. And I have, you mentioned it, I've produced over 150 episodes of my podcast that looks at ADHD. And I would say about 80 of those are interviews, sit-down interviews mm-hmm. with another person who has ADHD. And a lot of them aren't medicated. And a lot of what I'm hearing from, you know, the people that I spoke to, it tends to be people who were diagnosed as children and they were put on medication and it made life worse for them.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say to that is, we have come so far in the medical system with pharmaceuticals and the development, and you know, things have changed in 20 and 30 years. So the medications we have now, there are so many non-stimulant medications that are doing wonders for ADHD. But I think what's really important is that just like ADHD, it is a spectrum. Even though there's technically right now three types of ADHD, there's, you know, hyperactive, inattentive, and combined type, even those come with just this incredibly wide spectrum. And everyone is going to look different. They're going to have different things they struggle with. And the important thing to remember is that changes over time. So what you might have struggled with 10 years ago is going to be different in 20 years, and it changes. And that can be really hard for people because I think that we like to put people into boxes. We like
yes, we
very
do.
Defined, mm-hmm. no gray area, very right. black and white. And the one thing I would say is, like, thing has been such a big part of it. Like, I look back at everything I did before I was diagnosed with ADHD, including being your producer, and I masked so much. And what I mean by that is I became exactly who everyone wanted me to be, because that was easier than working through the feelings I was having about who I was. And that's really sad. I think a lot of people who are diagnosed as adults deal with a lot of grief. And that's been a big part for me.
Those are such good points, because I've learned this a lot, and you know this extraordinarily well, because where does Quentin fit in one box? I mean, this is a long, long story. I won't get into it, but like the other day we had another doctor's visit, and out of nowhere they suggested, well, he has I don't think it's to the syndrome level, but he also has this. And we're like, well, wait a second, nobody said a word to us. Well, it's
right.
It was in his genetic file. Like, well, shouldn't we know about this? Like, so Q has been, I mean, he was at a doctor today trying to figure out how he can walk better. Like, and okay, with an ADHD diagnosis, like, we could line up 10 people, and it's not just Adderall here or this. Everybody has shades of gray. And that's why I was heartened to hear that you're going to speak at this conference in Anaheim next month. Okay, so tell people about that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'm partnered with two incredible women, Claire Tomey and Jen Hansen. And Jen is actually based here in the Twin Cities. She's a former nurse who is now an ADHD coach. And the three of us are actually talking about the intersectionality of ADHD and chronic illness. And our panel is called Navigating and Managing ADHD and Chronic Illness. And I have been astounded by the research that I'm finding connecting chronic illness and ADHD. And I mean, things like people with ADHD have higher rates of inflammation, and you tie inflammation back to chronic illness and to auto-inflammatory diseases. And it's still very early. Like, it's all, you know, there's so much more that we could learn. But the three of us have all dealt with our own issues with chronic illness, and it is a challenge. You know, like I mentioned, 330 doctor's appointments. Like, I got to tell you this, because this I think you're going to love, Chad, and you're going to be astounded. In your chart, when you go to the doctor, they've got a percentage of the appointments you've missed. I have missed like 3% of appointments. And the most hysterical part is that the one appointment I missed, it was like I had been discharged from the first doctor, or the first hospitalization last September, keeping in mind I was there for 18 days. And I missed a chiropractic appointment. And the next time I came in, I was like, did I have an appointment last year? Did I miss an appointment? Yeah. And she was like, yeah. And I immediately went into the shame game of like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I missed that. And she looked at me and she goes, I think you're good.
Yeah.
Like, I think you've got enough on your plate. Like,
yes.
I've moved on. Like, you know, like, let's worry about something else. So really excited about that. It's such an honor to been selected. You know, like I mentioned that I've been doing work. I just haven't been working. And so that's been one of the things that I'm really proud of is getting that in and being selected to present. And I can see us, you know, just continuing this on and really diving into this.
Well, I'm elated. I was so pleased to see you at the Rose Bowl, the photos out there. That was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Then to be part of the clinical trial, then to be in a good spot, then to be selected here for this conference. It's good. This is Lindsay Gensel. Lindsay was a part of this show for a long time. She still is a part of this show. She's battling a lot. If you could go to just lindsaygensel.com, if you want to help out with the GoFundMe page, the link is right there. Only love. Say hi to John, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much. Love you, Chad.
All right. Our friend Lindsay Gensel. It's 51 past 1 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.